You're listening to Satellite Sisters.
What's a satellite sister?
The person you call when the best thing in your life happens or the worst.
The person that gets you up, gets you going, and gets you through.
And every once in a while, changes your mind.
This podcast is part pep talk, part weekly check-in.
Like grabbing coffee with a friend.
Thanks for being here. Welcome to the Satellite Sisterhood.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters. We're happy to be with you today for this brand new show. That's right. We're talking travel for the rest of 2024. Yay. We love doing travel shows. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. Come visit Pasadena. It's glorious. I encourage you all to come here. And Liz, how about you? Where are you at today?
Here I am. I'm at home in Santa Monica, Leanne. People love Santa Monica, by the by. You know, I mean, if you're coming to Southern California, yes, you should go to Pasadena. Yes, you should come to Santa Monica. I mean, Southern California, really a pretty nice place to visit.
It is.
I love doing these travel shows because there's such a fantasy aspect to thinking about where in the world, if you could go anywhere and try anything, where in the world you can go. So I am all in for today.
Yeah, we're looking forward to talking to Lauren Bates. Now, Lauren has been on the show, I think, two or three times. She runs a company called Wild Terrains, and Wild Terrains specializes in small group tours for women. And many Satellite Sisters have been on her trips. But when we first talked to Lauren, she was really a baby entrepreneur, like just one woman who had an idea. And now she's made it through a pandemic and her business is exploding. And we're looking forward to talking to her about some of her new destinations that she's really researched. New Orleans, Japan, Iceland. We're going to talk to her all about that. And then our sister Julie snuck off a couple of weeks ago and went to New Zealand to do some hiking.
I know. I mean, you're wondering what we're doing behind your backs. Well, Julie is going to New Zealand.
I mean, I think when she announced it, it was like, wait, on Tuesday, you're going to New Zealand? It was crazy. But she and her husband had a fantastic trip to New Zealand. So we're going to hear all about that in this particular show. But Liz, we took to the Facebook group to see where all the Satellite Sisters and Misters were headed this summer. Where are they going, Lizzie?
Yeah, Leanne, you put up a post because one thing we know about you, Misters, is that you do a lot of traveling.
Yes.
People are very adventurous, some in the U.S., some around the world. So like in the U.S., with summer coming up, you know, I was looking down the list. Beth is going to what she calls her beloved Berkshires, right? Mm-hmm. Nancy is celebrating her birthday on Nantucket. Happy birthday, Nancy.
Oh,
Deb. Fun. Deb is celebrating. She's going to the Pacific Northwest, which, you know, we love, to celebrate a milestone birthday with her original satellite sister and best friend since the eighth grade. So she's doing that. And on that swing through the Pac Northwest, Leanne, she is attending your talk in Portland.
I could not. I actually got a little choked up when I saw that I'm worked into someone's birthday itin is just really makes me really, really happy. So yes, I'll be in Portland on June 3rd at the Powell's in Cedar Hills. And Deb will also be there with her childhood best friend. So that makes me super happy.
That's so nice. So yeah. And then Betsy is going to Traverse City, Michigan. You know, I have never been to that part of the United States.
People me neither. Love it.
So maybe I should put that on my list. Marsha is going hiking in the Redwoods in Eureka, California.
Oh.
Sarah Alice, who, you know, was our organizer for the Big Fun Weekend. She is going to Providence, Rhode Island, which I also love. So have fun, Sarah Alice. I actually have a college reunion in Providence, Rhode Island, Memorial Day weekend, but I cannot attend because I am working on something else. But anyway, Providence is really a fun city. Karen, she's going to New York City on the Acela. And I think train trips are so underrated. I love getting on a train. Don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I agree. I absolutely love them. Yes. Yeah.
She said she's gallivanting with her hubs. So yes, it's sort of the opposite of a marriage sabbatical Karen is taking. She's gallivanting with her hubs. And then Erin, longtime Satellite Sister Erin, she is going to Annapolis. Of course, we know that it is her son's commissioning from the Naval Academy. We've seen her son through this whole experience going to the Naval Academy. So congratulations, Erin, and Annapolis for the Naval Academy graduation. Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. now the people that are leaving the U.S., we're going to talk to Lauren about Tokyo, right? Beth is going to Tokyo. Nancy is going to Scotland and England. Michelle is going to Bruges and Ghent, two places I've never been.
They're beautiful. I've been to both those places. Yeah. Gorgeous. Yeah. Yep.
And also London and Oxford. There are a lot of people going to Ireland. Leah and Don is going there. Julia is going there. Other satellite sisters. I highly recommend Ireland. That totally worth the trip.
It's on my list for my 60th birthday. That's the only thing I want to do. That's like, yeah, that's what I want to do. So I'm announcing it here.
Okay. All right.
Does my husband want to do that? We don't know. But
okay. So everybody who's going to Ireland this summer, just post your recommendations for Leanne in the Facebook group or on Instagram. Betsy is taking her daughter to London and Italy for 2 weeks to celebrate her college graduation.
Oh, fun.
That sounds like a great mother-daughter trip. They're going to Rome, Siena, Atrani, and Caligari. Wow. Ooh. Nice. Wow. That's great. Natalie is going to Prague and Denmark and Sweden.
Oh, okay. You know,
people are busy. Stacy is taking her 14-year-old son to Amsterdam, and she asked him what he wanted to do, and he said, just look around and lots of eating. So, isn't that what travel mainly is? I think he's got the swing of it, even at age 14.
It is. Go to that Anne Frank house, though. I have to say, that's one of the most powerful moving places I've ever been. So, make sure in between the eating and looking around, you do that.
Yes. Debbie is going to Singapore. I think she said she was combined. That was a business trip. She'll get some time there. And Joyce is going to Bratislava and Budapest. And I went to Budapest last summer. Joyce, I really loved it. So, and when she said that she was going to those two places, like in the Facebook group, of course, somebody else jumped in and said, oh, if you want a recommendation for a winery to go to while you're there. People are sharing travel tips in the group, Leanne. So
I would say our Facebook group is about 25% travel tips and 25% what shoes should I buy for my feet. Those are... I mean, if you have not joined our private Facebook group, that's the territory we're covering. Okay. So it's travel tips, many, many travel tips. So it's an unofficial travel group, really, because it's so please join us over there at the Facebook, the Satellite Sisters private group. Just answer the membership questions or else we do not let you in. So that's
okay.
That's...
So people are doing a lot of fun things this summer. We are so happy to hear it.
Oh, that's great. All right, Liz, one of the fun things I'm doing this summer, I'm really looking forward to, is going to Santa Fe to do that workshop with MEA Wisdom. And the workshop is called A Lifetime of Women's Wellness, Thriving Through Transitions. And it's going to be led by Dr. Suzanne Gilbert-Lenz. So, Liz, I'm going to have an on-staff OBGYN with me for 5 days.
That is your idea of a great vacation. It's that time in your life, Leanne, where that's like the best thing you can think of.
You know, I'm just trying to figure out the next phase of my life from a physical, emotional, and psychological aspect, you know, and I need a little, I don't want to say kick in the pants, but I need some expertise. Like I really want to move strongly into my next decade. And I really think that like spending a week sort of examining some of these things would be super duper helpful to me.
And workshops, they go deep at these MEA workshops. It's not, you're not just like hanging around by the pool. They sound amazing.
Yeah. And my satellite sister Danielle is coming with me, which will be really fun. There'll be two of us. If you want to join in, we would love to have you. There are going to be links in the show notes here on the website. I'll spread them all over the place, but I would love for some more satellite sisters to be in this group. It's really a small focus group. The new campus in Santa Fe has opened. Liz, it looks beautiful. It's got lots of acres for wandering and strolling. It includes like 3 gourmet meals and snacks all day and beverages. And there'll be some side trips. There's some equine therapy, Liz. I'm a little nervous about the horses, but
okay.
Why? I'm all in on the ranch dogs. I'm looking forward to meeting
the ranch dogs. And when, this is June, right?
June. It's the end of June. It's the end of June in New Mexico. So that should be great timing. So I would love to have people join me. Look for the links in the show notes here. Also over at our website. I'll put them in Pep Talk. They've been in my newsletter. But would love to have you come and bring your satellite sisters. We can really go deep. For 1 week, let's go deep. Let's go deep.
And plus, you're so all about Santa Fe.
I know. Just,
I love this for you. It's part of your brand now, Santa Fe.
Well, I have gotten a lot of people who said to me about the book, The Marriage Sabbatical, I really want to go to Santa Fe. So here's your chance. I mean, it's just, it is a very special place, which again is another reason why I think it's a great place for this particular workshop. Mm-hmm. Thriving through transitions, Liz. I mean,
why not? That's
who doesn't
want to
do
goal.
That? Yeah. Who doesn't want to do that? All right. Coming up next on Satellite Sisters, we're going to be talking to Lauren Bates. She's the founder of Wild Terrains. This is travel for women by women. Wild Terrain specializes in small group tours for women of all ages and life stages. And in each of their destinations, they do an amazing job like seeking out women makers, women hoteliers, women chefs, you know, people who own shops. They just look for local women-owned businesses and they create these really one-of-a-kind uplifting experiences. So we can't wait to talk to Lauren. Wild Terrains is the name of her company, and you can find that in our show notes. All right, stay with us. Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leanne, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? Yeah. That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. Do I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon neutral custom beauty brand. So pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros. We are so happy to welcome Lauren Bates back to the Satellite Sisters. Lauren, when we talked to you, Wild Terrains, your business was just launching. That was like 5 or 6 years ago now. How is everything going with your business?
Yeah, I'm so happy to be back with you guys. It's always so fun. Business is good. COVID was rough times, not going to lie. But we made it through. We actually 10x'd our business after COVID. That was pretty wild.
Yes.
So when I first met you guys, it was really just me running the show. And now we're a team of 12. So it's it's really grown over the last.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been super fun.
Yeah, I feel like it was you and Mexico City, and now you have so many new adventures. When I go to your website, it's exciting just to read about it.
Oh yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, we've been fast to launch destinations. So we have 7 destinations right now, and we're working on a couple of more. So I'm hoping by next year we'll be at 10, and then I'm hoping to slow down. It's been a busy couple of years.
Yeah, growth is good, except
in moderation, right? We don't want to overdo it.
Why do you think people just jumped on the travel bandwagon after the pandemic? They just had to get out of their apartments? Or how do you think of like how your business has evolved or how travelers have evolved since the pandemic?
It's a good question. I think it's twofold. I think one, there was definitely pent-up demand. People, you know, if you were lucky to not be severely affected by COVID, you had travel money saved up in your bank account. And I think people's priorities shifted after that. They said, I'm not going to wait to take that big trip because I don't know if something like this could happen again.
Yeah.
And then I don't have the chance. So, and then I think we also see in our customer base, people who were really affected by COVID, people who lost spouses. And so I think they were looking for kind of new experiences and ways to grow after the pandemic. And then I think there is a shift that I'm really feeling in the last year that I think consumers are really smart. And I think people are starting to get really savvy about researching businesses that are good businesses to support. And so I think we're seeing a lot more of that. People are asking about our B Corp certification. People are asking us questions about where our money actually goes. And lucky for us, we're really transparent with that. We always have been. And so I think a lot of our growth has been sort of twofold because of the demand after the pandemic, but also because we're a socially conscious business, and we move through the world in like a really responsible way. And I think travelers are gravitating towards that.
Yeah, it's super special the way you have always supported women and women-owned businesses in all of the countries you visit, Laura. And I think that's something that, especially while Satellite Sisters, can totally connect to that.
Yeah, I think it's become really powerful for me. I think when I started, we felt like small potatoes. I didn't really feel the impact as strongly as I do now. Now we're talking about, we're going into countries and shifting millions of tourism dollars into the hands of women. It's super powerful. It's a super powerful way to redirect tourism dollars into people who are normally left out of the business.
And do you think it connects your clients to those countries and those experiences even more?
For sure, because I think the women that we're partnering with, the hoteliers, the chefs, the artists, they love us. So they, when our travelers show up, I think the women who are greeting them are already bought into the concept. And so you feel like almost like you're meeting a friend of a friend rather than just going on a regular tour where you have a regular tour guide, which there's nothing wrong with. It's just, I think, a different way to travel. And I think our way is more focused on that connection between all the women than just like checking off a checklist of tourist sites to see.
Well, you know, we know that there have been a lot of Satellite Sisters that have taken your tours and they rave about it. One free listener, Sue, said, you just have luxuries in all the right places. The little luxuries, she said. She really appreciated that, which I thought was a nice commentary along with this. I like directly to what you're saying. I noticed you recently went to New Orleans. That's one of your new locations. And New Orleans is definitely a place where you can go and never get out of the quarter and just keep drinking never see anything past Canal Street. That is not the tour you are doing. And you know what? That's a perfectly fun way to see New Orleans, believe me. But that's not the tour you're doing. You went to Magazine Street. You look like you had this amazing food experience on the bayou. Tell me about that. That looked incredible.
Yes. So New Orleans, our newest destination, and our first trip went in early April. And this is a really special destination for me. My family is actually from Louisiana.
Oh.
And so when we were picking our first domestic destination, I really felt a pull to kind of tell the story of Louisiana. And I think New Orleans is such a fun place to do that because, like you said, most people go for like a party or like a fun time or a bachelorette, and they don't really, that's not really real New Orleans. It's fun. It has its place, you know, but that's not really like the depth of New Orleans. New Orleans has so much culture, history. There's so many like brilliant women who are doing amazing things in the city. So this was kind of my, opportunity, I think, to shine a spotlight on Louisiana and really show that you can have a super elevated girls trip in New Orleans that isn't that Bourbon Street vibe. It was amazing. I mean, I had such a good time with the travelers a couple of weeks ago, and I'm excited to see how the trips run this fall.
You know, Leon asked about food. I've noticed this in all of your trips. I've read through all of your itineraries. I mean, you put a lot of focus on food in all your trips, but not just the eating of the food, really learning about food and cooking schools and unusual fun sites for picnics. Food is obviously core to your mission. And it's because I think it's a way to connect with the local culture in such a direct way.
Yeah, totally. And I have to feed everyone. So we might as well. it's true. We have to feed everyone. And so it's a component that I find really interesting. I think a lot of group trips tend to take almost an easy way out with food, in my experience. Not that the food is bad, but they'll do family style pasta or family style chicken and rice at the table. And I really wanted to move away from that on our trip. So, you know, we mix a lot of, to what Sue said, that we, you know, incorporate lots of little luxuries along the way. I think one of the things we do really well with food is we mix what I call high and low. So in Mexico City, you're going to go on a street food crawl and you're going to eat a taco from a taco stand and it's going to be delicious. But then, you know, later that night, you're going to have a Michelin star meal, and it's going to be a course meal and a sit down meal with the chef explaining all of the dishes. So I really like to mix food experiences that way. I also just think there's something when we're talking about connection, there's something about like 12 women sitting at a table, sharing a meal together, talking about what they did that day or what's happening at home for them. it really creates connection really fast if it's done well. And I think we try to do it really well because that's our secret sauce. It's why we have so many satellite sisters. The reason I keep adding destinations is I have to keep up with them. They're out of destinations. I have to keep going.
So, it's a hungry and adventurous group we have, I think.
Exactly.
Well, okay, Lauren, I wanted to ask about Iceland because I think my next big trip might be Iceland. And I've noticed that a lot of our satellite sisters, like Leanne, put a question in our Facebook group earlier this week, and Maureen and Nancy both said they're going to Iceland this summer. Marsha went last summer. I feel like people started really appreciating Iceland like 10 or 15 years ago. I noticed people had started going there. And so I'm sure that's why you got on that. But in Iceland, part of your trip is going to cooking school, right? Mm-hmm. And learning how to make Icelandic food, which as I read that, I was like, what is Icelandic food? I just have no idea what that would even be, Lauren.
Yeah. Well, Icelandic food is interesting because the stuff that gets the headlines is a little bit of weird stuff, like fermented shark. We don't feed our travelers that. They can go find that on their own if they want. Icelandic food is a lot of fish, a lot of cod, a lot of lamb. It's really hard to grow stuff in Iceland, given the weather and the terrain. So there's a lot of greenhouses. So you can find like fresh vegetables and there's a big baking culture because it's a Nordic country. So there's a lot
baking?
Of sourdough.
Baking or? Oh, I thought you said bacon. I thought.
Oh, no.
You know, Liam, those Icelandic pigs. Yeah.
There are things, but.
Oh, bacon culture.
But I will say, on the whole, I think when you go to Iceland as a tourist, once you get in Reykjavik, there's great restaurants. But once you get out of Reykjavik, it's pretty remote. And the food can be hit or miss. And so what we actually do is we found these two ladies. They're a riot. They're so fun. Auslag and Ernie. Auslag is a food writer and photographer and a food stylist. She's probably in her 60s. And then Ernie is probably in her 50s. And she's a cheesemonger. She used to have a cheese shop in Reykjavik. And they started during COVID. I don't know how I found them. I found them on Instagram. They had like 100 followers, so it's not a big account. And they were just starting to do, during COVID, these picnics for themselves. And they were posting pictures about it. And so when I went to Iceland to scout, I met with them and had dinner at their house. And I was like, would you ever do the picnics for groups? And they said, sure, why not? And so we actually bring them. They travel with the group outside of the city for 3 days. And do all the meals for the group. So
that sounds so great. Leanne, don't you think just having a personal cheesemonger is the way to go through life?
Yes. Plus, I love that you just found it on Instagram because that's how I find things for my books. But that's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah. And so they do they set up these elaborate picnics under waterfalls and next to glaciers. And the location changes every trip. The Iceland trip is super fun.
You know, I just had dinner the other night with a friend who was in Iceland this summer. I told her that I was going to be talking to you today. And she took her husband and two girls to Iceland this summer. They rented a camper van this past summer and just loved driving around to talk about picnics. They just had the greatest time. But she said, you know, when we flew in, we got there super early in the morning. So the first thing we did was go to the Blue Lagoon. And I'm like, okay, I need to know everything there is to know about the Blue Lagoon. So Iceland is all about bath culture. So tell me more. I am into it.
Yes. So bath culture is huge in Iceland. It is. I'm a little bit obsessed with it. I think I love baths. And I think it's really fun that it's almost a daily ritual for Icelandic people is to go to the baths. The Blue Lagoon is definitely the most touristy version of it. And I think it's closed right now because of the volcano.
Yeah.
I think was really close to it. But there's another place called Sky Lagoon that is like the locals' version of the Blue Lagoon. And that's where I tell people when they land early in Iceland, you always land, it's like horribly early. It's like 6 a.m. And then you can't get into your hotel room until 3. Mm-hmm. And so I always tell people to go to Sky Lagoon and you do like a bath circuit. There's a salt scrub. They have a bar in there so you can have an 8 a.m. champagne if you want. It's super fun.
Oh, okay. Now I can't get off your site. I'm just looking at the Iceland pictures. Okay.
One last thing.
What is the best time of year to visit Iceland? Your trips are only certain times of the year. So is it not a winter site? Like, is now the time to go?
So Iceland is interesting weather-wise. The best time is the summer. And you have 24/7 sunlight in the summer. So you really can like maximize your outdoor time. The truth of the Icelandic weather is you can have snow in June or July. It's just, it's completely unpredictable. And I've been there for weeks where one day I'm in a tank top and the next day I'm in a parka. So the weather is totally unpredictable. I think the biggest thing is the sunlight. If you go in the winter in like December, it's dark all day.
Oh.
So you can't really see anything. So we do... And then summer's pretty crowded. So I like shoulder season. And for us, that means we run our trips in May and September. And then actually September is the best month to see the Northern Lights, which is most people don't realize. But something about the way the atmosphere in September is, it's the best time. And 2024, this year, is supposed to be like an epic year for the Northern Lights. Like they're saying it's going to be unlike any year before.
Okay. All right, Liz, get a planet then.
This is the year, Liam. Maybe this is the year. Okay, Liam, you had the new destination that you want to ask about, right?
Yeah, because all of a sudden, everybody I know is going to Japan. Like, it's funny how destinations become trendy. And and I have quite a few friends that have recently gone to Japan or have Japan on their list this year. And you have Japan on your list. So what drew you to Japan?
So I really resisted the Japan bandwagon for a bit. Okay. But I kept getting asked for it by travelers. And I was like, okay, at this point, if I don't do it, I'm just an idiot. I'm leaving money on the table. Like, we got to do it. And so I went several times in the last few months to scout, and it was really interesting. My first reaction on my first trip was, I'm not launching trips here. This is really difficult to navigate.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, that's exactly why we should launch here, because it's really difficult to navigate. And actually the gender dynamics in Japan are really fascinating. It's very hard to find women-owned businesses. Mm-hmm. We really struggled. It's the first place where I can say we really struggled. And I think that having a window into what it's like for women in Japan is a really unique angle that I haven't seen any of the other tour companies doing. So that's what so we're working on Japan, and it'll launch probably in August or September. We have a new membership called Wing Women, and it'll launch to them first, and then it'll probably launch to the general public in October.
Oh, okay. Wow. So it takes a long time to get things like this off the ground for your company.
Yeah. We've been researching Japan for 5 years.
Wow.
We spend a long time researching. Japan was a lot harder. I wanted to make sure we got it right. And it's also quite expensive of a country. Right. So that was something it'll be our most expensive trip. But, you know, I wanted to make sure I was balancing sort of our luxury standard that people have come to know us for with some experiences that would be a bit more affordable so that I don't have to charge $15,000 per person for this trip. So.
Yeah.
So it's been a challenge for sure, but I'm excited.
You know, Lauren, I've been to Tokyo a bunch of times for work, but for time off, one time I went to Kyoto, and that was just unbelievably memorable as a place.
Yeah.
Just like, I still remember Nijo Castle, which is the place where they call them like ninja floors, Leon, or nightingale floors.
Oh.
They created the floors in a way that if you walk on them, even in stocking feet, they make these cricket sounds or bird sounds. And it was a way of preventing people from sneaking up on them. It was It was like, 16th century security. This was the era of the shoguns for fans of the TV show. And they just, you know, people were constantly trying to murder them. So they have. Anyway, it's just, I think about that all the time. So will you take in Kyoto too as part of your trip?
Yes. So our trip is actually going to start. It's going to skip Tokyo. We're going to give like a soft landing for people in Tokyo, but it's going to start in the super south of Japan in kind of a remote area. And then it's going to travel up to Naoshima Island, which is called, it's part of the Art Islands. And then it'll go up to Kyoto, and that's where the trip will end. So,
That sounds amazing.
I'm excited about it.
All right. So, Lauren, on the personal note, you're getting married. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't want to bombard you with too many details about the wedding because that's your personal.
I'm an open book. I'll answer anything.
All right. Where is the wedding? Where's the wedding?
It's actually in my backyard. I moved. I don't know if you guys knew this. I moved to Colorado.
Yes, I knew that because, of course, I follow you online.
So. Yes.
So I live in the mountains in Colorado now, right outside of Boulder. So we have a big backyard with a bunch of trees and it'll be in the backyard.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay, so no destination wedding for this travel professional. I love that.
I know. Everybody's really upset. They're like, wait, what? We're going to your backyard.
Well, I feel badly for brides who are turned into like travel professionals. When they pick a destination wedding, it's a lot of travel questions. So I think you deserve a day off on your wedding day. But where are you going for your honeymoon?
So believe it or not, this was so hard to plan. I had writer's block with the honeymoon planning. So we ended up choosing Greece. We're going to Greece.
Nice.
Yes. A bit traditional, but
can you turn off your travel pro identity and just be a tourist? Is that hard for you to do?
Well, actually, I feel like it's a bit like, you know, when you hear chefs go home and make mac and cheese.
Yeah.
That's like a bit like me. Like I booked the flights for us and we have hotels to stay in, but that's it. That's all I've done.
What islands are you going to? Where are you going?
We're going to Zakynthos and Milos.
Okay, I've never even heard of that, of course.
Zakynthos, if you Google it, you will recognize the pictures. It's in all the ads for Greece. It's just never named, I think. And then Milos is kind of an up-and-coming hot destination right now. You may have seen it. It's the beaches look kind of like the moon. It's like white rock beaches.
Oh.
Wow. And yeah, I don't think there's anything to do except lay on the beach and drink cocktails, which is just what I wanted.
Honeymoon. Honeymoon.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm looking. I Googled Milos right away. Oh my gosh, that does look like the moon. It's beautiful. Oh,
yeah, it's very unique.
See. Oh. Okay, we have to go because I have to now just go to all the Milos sites on the website. So, it's okay. It's in the Cyclades there. Nice. Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful. Oh, well, Lauren, that will be fun. We wish you all the best with your wedding and your honeymoon.
Yes.
We always love talking to you about travel and wish you all the best in your business. Thanks for being on Satellite Sisters.
Thanks so much for having me.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life, aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils. I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the mega moisture duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer. And it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria algae body oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria collagen body oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Leon and Liz, we're back here. Liz, it was great to talk to Lauren. I actually really admire what she's done with her business because that wasn't easy, you know?
Which imagine. Starting your own travel business and then the pandemic strikes, that's crazy hard. I'm so happy for her.
And when you hear that they've spent like 5 years putting that kind of development time into a trip to Tokyo, you know, it's very special. Like, I think people underestimate how hard it can be to put some of these trips together or really start any small business. And Lauren has really done some incredible things. The name of her company, again, is Wild Terrains, and the website is wildterrains.com. There's no kickback here. We just like talking to Lauren. So, but, you know, tell her you heard about it on Satellite Sisters.
We didn't have time to talk to her. Her Argentina trip looks amazing. And yeah. I've been to Argentina, but I would still go back on her version of Argentina, which involves a lot more wine drinking than we had in our hiking version of Argentina. So go to wildterrains.com just to fantasize about like things you could actually go and explore when you're in these places. And I like what she said about, you know, the women on the tour feel like they're meeting friends of friends.
Yes.
You know, because she has done such a good job scouting the places they're going to visit, the women they're going to talk to. You are just off the beaten path enough to really feel like you are making friends in these places. Like, it's great.
Right. And that's sort of intentional travel, too. I loved hearing her articulate about that, that people are really making choices about where they go and how they go and who they go with. I thought that was really interesting as well. That does not surprise me. Like, of course, it makes sense when I put it all together, knowing that a bunch of Satellite Sisters have been on her trips, that they would choose that kind of company. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, Julie is up next. We talked to Julie about her trip to New Zealand, and she took a hiking and fishing trip. Wow, hiking and fishing.
Well, I mean, yeah.
It's great for her. It's great
for them. She and her husband like to do. Again, she's gallivanting with her hubs. You know?
Yeah. So, and they went with a touring company called Backroads, which is one she's done a lot of their trips before. You've been on their trip. So again, another, you know, well-organized, well-run, intentional trip company. It's great to be able to support those. So here's our conversation with Julie about her trip to New Zealand. We're back. You're listening to Satellite Sisters. It's our special spring travel episode. And Julie, you kind of surprised people. Well, you busted out of this country with a 2-week trip to New Zealand.
Yes.
With you and your husband. So,
yes.
I mean, people want details because you posted unbelievably spectacular photos. I mean, that place looked otherworldly. Amazing.
I mean, it is an incredible place. Yes, this was a special trip. My husband has just retired. Satellite Sisters, we stopped production, so we're in sort of our different phase now. But this had always been on our bucket list to go visit New Zealand. And we went to New Zealand for a hiking trip. It was the 9-day hiking trip. But because you're going so far, we went early and we did some other things. So New Zealand, let's just start with New Zealand. I mean, let me ask you, sisters. Okay. Have you ever met anyone who said, oh, I went to New Zealand and it was okay? Have you ever met anyone?
No. People rave about New Zealand.
Exactly, Liz. Exactly. No, I mean, and I just, you know, I sort of was bracing myself when I got there. I thought, oh, well, this just can't be as good as everyone says it is, because everyone loves it there. But guess what? It is as good as everyone says it is, okay?
It looks gorgeous. It's very small, though, right? Not too many
people. Small, okay. Yeah. I mean, let's just start with the gorgeousness, Liz, okay? Pristine lakes, gorgeous peaks, glaciers. Do you know they have rainforests? They have beautiful wild beaches, okay? And it's all together. We did a hiking tour on the South Island, so I have no information about the North Island. My grandson, Peter, was very upset because Hobbit Town, where they filmed The Hobbit, and that's all on the North Island. He couldn't understand why I was going all that way and was going to miss that, but I did. But the South Island is spectacular. And you're right, Liz. There are no people there, okay? That's the other thing about it. I mean, New Zealand has a very small population. I think it's like 5 million people total. Many people are in the Auckland major city. So when you go to the South Island, you're in this place and you're like, you know, there's no one here. I mean, you can drive, you can hike, you can go places, and you're not running into giant crowds. I mean, we went to this absolutely beautiful town of Wanaka, which is on a gorgeous lake, has mountains in the background, you know, snow-capped mountains, you know, you can see it. And I thought, if this was in the United States, it would be ruined. I mean, because there would be like millions of people there, millions of boaters, and there was no one there. It was just, everything is low-key there, with a capital L and a capital K, you know, low-key, okay? They don't have big, splashy, everything's, you know, they're very concerned about the environment, very concerned about the natural beauty of their islands. And you have that sense of both the protection and the pride that they bring to their locations. I mean, we did a hiking trip, so we were hiking in national park and on trails. And many of these trails, Liz and Leon, you could not bring your dog, okay? No dogs.
Oh.
No. I mean, they want to keep it
They want to keep it pristine, Leanne. Okay. All right.
Dogs are not native to the environment.
No. And the other thing about New Zealand, probably the big, so you have this spectacular landscape everywhere you look. And then you have these super nice people, Kiwis, okay, super friendly, very, very polite, just helpful. They, you know, they do not seem horrified that you're an American tourist. They're, you know, they're happy to help you. You know, that's, you know what I mean, Leanne? That's, it's, you know, they're friendly. It's polite. It seems relatively safe. Again, low key, like they just, they don't really even have that many roads on the South Island, you know, and even the roads, they have a lot of bridges because they have rivers and they have runoff from all these glaciers and volcanoes and various things. They're one lane bridges. So you have to take turns using the bridge.
Oh, okay. Well, that's never going to work here.
Exactly, Liz. Exactly. Exactly. I think there is also a real effort now in 2024 to recognize and appreciate the indigenous Maori people of New Zealand. All the signage is in both English and Maori, and that you have a better sense that while, you know, things were not always, you know, were not great for the Maori people when the first set, when the Western settlers came to New Zealand, there's a real effort to embrace their culture, their appreciation of the nature and the beauty of the.
It must be very interesting to learn about.
Yes, it is, Liz. And I didn't really know that much. The other sort of startling thing, even though it's not startling when you're first there, is, but it, like when you're hiking or walking around or in the rainforests or the woods, the forests, they don't have any indigenous mammals there. Okay. So that means, like, you know, there's sheep there, quite a bit of sheep, because that's wool. They got that New Zealand wool. It's wonderful. Merino wool, wear it. But those sheep were brought in, cows, dairy products are their, that's their number one industry. They're now raising deer for venison. But when you're hiking in the woods, there are no snakes there, no lizards, there are no bears coming out at you. You don't have to worry about a bobcat or a mountain lion or anything like that.
Really?
No.
That is fascinating.
Yeah. So weird.
It's at first you're like, what? Really? But you notice it when you're the island was populated by birds. And let's talk about the birds. Now, you know, I'm not an ornithologist, but the birds there.
Yeah, so I can't wait to hear this discussion.
I mean, it was an island of birds. That's when they, you know, they have a wide range, beautiful birds, colorful birds. But because there were no natural predators, the birds just, they nest on the ground. All the eggs are there, you know. And one of our guides pointed out that many of the birds are very clumsy flyers. Okay. They're just not good at flying. Again, because if you don't have to learn to fly to get away from a predator, why would you take that up as a sport? You know, I mean, right?
So they don't migrate or anything?
No, they just, why would you
They just
migrate?
Stay on the island. They just stay
on
New Zealand.
Just sit on the ground, Leanne. Just a bunch of birds sitting on the ground.
It's New Zealand, Leanne. You wouldn't want to leave if you were a bird. It's paradise there.
It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, I guess it is pretty far from everything else. So where would you migrate to? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, there are no
squirrels. None of us are ornithologists.
But we've established that. Yeah, but and the birds are, yes. So if you're a birder, I think you would love a trip to New Zealand. If I went back to New Zealand, I would like to be with a birder and learn more about the birds. I was so fascinated by it. I really thought this is such an interesting environment, you know, to really appreciate what's happening there would be great. You know, you just get your first glance of it as you're going through. So, but you should go. And now we have to talk about the flight, because that's the other thing everyone always mentions,
that it's so far.
Be afraid of an airplane. No, do not be afraid, because Liz, who among us has not been stuck in an airport for like 12, 14 hours? Everyone has, right?
Right.
You could be in New Zealand. I flew nonstop from Dallas, Texas to Auckland, New Zealand. Nonstop, Liz. 14 hours.
Wow, nonstop. That's
that
crazy.
That's a nap and three movies. I've told you this. That's the thing about a nap, a big long nap, and three movies. We all can do that. All right.
Yes.
Everybody can do that. And when you get there, you're in this enchanted place. So why wouldn't you do that? Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's good encouragement. Yeah. People are easily discouraged, but I always feel like no matter what happens, you know, tomorrow you're in New Zealand. It's only a day. Just think of it as a day. Do you want to spend today getting to New Zealand? Sure. Sure. I'll do that.
The food was great. They're, you know, super accommodating. The other thing, Leon, in New Zealand, their coffee aficionados.
Oh.
Like I had the best flat whites I have ever had in my, it's my new coffee drink, a flat white.
Yeah.
And I cannot find the quality that I'm getting, that I was getting in New Zealand. So they really like to drink coffee. That's good. We didn't visit it, but they have beautiful, charming wineries that you can go to as well. I mean, there's just a lot to do there. And then if you like any kind of daredevil sports, it is the home of bungee jumping. It is the modern bungee jumping was developed in New Zealand. So if you want to jump off a bridge, it's there for you to do.
I'm guessing you did not do that.
No, I did not.
Any zip lining? Did you participate?
Oh, you can do zip lining. You can do parasailing. You know, they're very into outdoor sports.
Yeah.
Biking, the skiing. There's all kinds of windsurfing, surfing. Yeah. You name it. They've got it. Yep.
You had some excellent fishing photos, Julie. I know your husband is a very serious fisherman. And you have learned, too, through all the years. So did you catch anything?
I got a couple strikes, Liz. He caught some fish. New Zealand brown trout, they're very tricky. They're the smartest fish in the world. Okay, you've heard this here, okay? They do not want to be caught. This is like the biggest challenge for fly fishing people is to catch fish in New Zealand. Okay,
oh, that sounds like a fish story. How could the fish be smarter in New Zealand?
They are smart, Leanne. They're very smart because it's all they have there are birds, okay, and the fish, okay? These fish are so smart, I had to change my top. I was wearing a bright orange top, and the fishing guide said, Julie, would you mind taking that bright thing off because you're scaring the fish? And
yeah, that sounds like an Irish brogue. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. It was like he was, I don't know where, Roger. He was like a gnome that was helping me pinch. I don't know. He was out there. He was helping. He kept saying, could you cast just a wee bit farther, Julie? A wee bit farther. Could you just move your arms a wee bit more? So
the fish could see you?
Okay, that's what I'm talking
about. Wiley brown trout. Okay.
Wiley New Zealand brown trout. You test that out. You pass that on to other people. The two big facts, smartest trouts, and no indigenous mammals. You're going to blow people's minds with those facts, okay? That's why I like traveling, because you go places, you see different things, it changes your assumptions about things, you learn things, it gets you more interested in things. So keep New Zealand on your list. If it's on your list, and if it isn't, it should be. Yes.
Mm. All right. Where to
Great
next, Jewel? Good right. report. Yeah, good report. Any next plans that you want to share? Or another surprise trip?
No, I do have a surprise that we are going to Kyrgyzstan this summer. Okay. On the dates. This is my daughter-in-law, Vera, grew up in Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. We have been wanting to go to Kyrgyzstan to be with her family there, to see the country, you know, to learn more about where she grew up. And we had planned it before COVID. We were obviously not able to go, but we are going this summer to Kyrgyzstan.
Wow. So great.
That's fantastic. A little bit of a clue for people about where Kyrgyzstan is.
It's one of the stands, Liz. Okay. It's right up there near Kazakhstan. Okay. Yeah. It's next to Uzbekistan. It's one of the smallest mountainous stands there.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Look it up. Yeah, we're going there. They don't have any people there either. So that should be a good trip.
Oh, that sounds super fun. Well, I know because your daughter-in-law is from there, that your grandchildren have gone there a lot and spent summers there with their other grandparents, right?
Yes. Yes. So they will be over there this summer, but we are going to go for part of the time while they're over there. We're going to go and we're looking forward to it. Yes.
Oh, that'll be great. I think there are bears there, though, so be careful.
Thanks, Lynn. That's a really good piece of advice.
So, Liz, what do you think? New Zealand, is it on your list?
I think so. Yeah, just, you know, it sounds so beautiful and like nobody's there. That's appealing. You know, you're not. Didn't you notice? I think I remember you saying after your last trip to Europe that there were just people everywhere.
People everywhere. Yes.
People are real
so excited. Many.
I've noticed, I saw in the news last week that Venice has now started charging people for even walking around the city. You know, there are so many people in Venice, Italy now. So it's appealing to go to a place where there are very few people. And New Zealand sounds like just the ticket.
Doesn't freak you out that there are no animals there or mammals or whatever they're called?
There's
I'm a little freaked out by that.
There's enough sheep for everybody. I think all the sheep have it covered.
All right. All right. We love doing these travel shows. Big thanks to our sponsors today on the show. Big thanks to MEA. Again, if you want to join me in Santa Fe, look in the show notes. You'll see a link to that week registration. Thanks to Lauren Bates of Wild Terrains. Thanks to Sergio for putting the show together. And again, thanks to all our sponsors. They're still sponsoring the show and allowing us to do this so we can keep our platforms rolling and keep putting up new shows. Liz, what's on your to-do list this week?
Well, you know, I was thinking about my travel this summer. I always try to go up to Oregon during the summer, go to Bend. But also the end of June, Leanne, is the Olympic trials to pick the track and field team for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. We'll be at Hayward Field in Eugene, Oregon at the end of June. So I will be taking in the Olympic trials this summer.
Oh, fantastic.
You know, I mean, people may not realize getting picked to the U.S. track and field team, that is really the hardest track meet in the world. It is harder to get on the USA track team than it is to actually like win a medal at the Olympics because we have so many talented athletes. Anyway, so I'll be there in the stands end of June, Hayward Field. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about track and field. It's not personality-based. It's all about the clock and the distance. It's all measurable. Yeah. You know, the best people in the world can get left off the team for a thousandth of a second. So, it's pretty great.
You get picked at the end of June and you're there, boom, by the end of July. It is fast. So I'll be there in the stands and then watching the Paris Olympics at home on TV.
Okay. I am headed off to Dallas this week. I mean, we are going to have a BAFO event on Friday, May 3rd, at Interabang Books in Dallas. It's a strange name for a bookstore, but that's fine. It's in the Lover's Lane shopping area, which I'm sure if you're local to Dallas, you know where that is. I think we're going to have a crowd. Julie has done a great job as my hype man down there in Dallas, Liz. She has rallied her people and rallied the Satellite Sisters in Dallas. So they're all on board. And if you're hearing this within the sound of my voice and you want to join us, that is a 6 p.m. start at Interabang Books in Dallas. And then I'm going to Fort Worth. The event there is sold out. So that's great. Thank you to Melissa at Home with the Twist for hosting us in Fort Worth. So that's on my to-do list for this week. I am traveling off to this great state of Texas.
Very fun. Very fun.
All right, sisters, that's it for this year's travel show. Enjoy it. Let us know where you're going. We always love hearing about your plans. And you can always tag your photos, hashtag SatSistersTravel. You know, that's still a thing on Instagram. And I appreciate the people that still use that hashtag because I like seeing other people's vacation photos. Weirdly, I do.
Well, they're going, as we noted at the top of the show, going to very interesting places. So have fun, everybody.
Be safe. And don't forget, call your satellite sister.